So our gospel reading this morning is not a straightforward one. When I read it earlier in the week, I was pretty lost. I wasn't at all sure what Jesus was saying. Having done some work, I can say that there were many commentaries that I found very little help in. Clearly, it's a text that people have struggled with a lot, and perhaps you need to know that scripture is not always easy to understand. Not always crisp and clear, at least in my mind. I'm sorry if that disappoints you. I realise I'm meant to be the one who has some answers, but perhaps it's a good thing for you to know that it's not always the case. So I got towards the end of the week thinking, well, at least it's not just me who finds this text difficult. At least in this, I'm in good company. So as we delve into this parable together, some things become all the more important, that we make sure we stick with the text. And in doing that, be willing to see in the text the ambiguity there. As I read the parable earlier on, the main question I was confronted with was why this dishonest manager was to be commended, how dishonesty could be good. And so I found myself in this whole area of money, a topic that the church can be very good at avoiding, and yet a topic which we need to talk about in the context of faith. Because however we understand it, this passage does seem to be speaking into our struggle with making good use of our resources. Here we see that wealth is both a blessing and a responsibility. As I find myself often saying, we are blessed in order to be a blessing. We are accountable for the use of what we have. And so many commentators turn to the idea that Jesus is recognising the manager's prudence, which has caused him to amass great wealth. But that kind of didn't cut it for me, so I kept searching. And then in my reading, I found some really helpful words from Brian McLaren, an American pastor and author. His understanding of the parable opened the story for me in quite a different and new way. Firstly, McLaren recognises that this parable is a continuation of the parables that we read last week, part of that same conversation. It's another parable told in response to those Pharisees muttering about Jesus dining with sinners. Remember? The lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, and the shrewd manager are all parables given in response to that conversation about the Pharisees' mutterings. Jesus is pointing to the Pharisees' issue with money as an underlying factor in the way that they have been treating sinners. McLaren argues that we need to understand the context of the parable. You see, the parable begins with a rich man and his manager. Now, to understand these figures, we need to go back to the context. This is the reality of Roman occupation of Israel-Palestine. As occupiers, the Romans would exploit the natural resources and exploit the labour of the people. And mainly, that was done through taxation. And we know that taxation was a huge bugbear for the locals living under Roman occupation. It's also important to realise that the wealthy lived in the south, in Judea, where Jerusalem was. And the poor, generally they were the poor farmers, lived in the north, where Galilee is. The rich, they needed the wine, the olive oil, and the wheat for their bread from the farmlands of Galilee. So, was this a chance for small farmers to get rich? No. The Romans taxed the poor farmers, and then when they couldn't afford to pay those taxes, the wealthy would offer to pay their taxes in exchange for the deed of their property. The farmers would be allowed to stay on their land, not their land anymore, the land, and farm it. But the rich would take a portion of the produce. So the rich got richer, and the poor got poorer. Nothing new. Also, when the rich of the south came to get their portion, it wasn't that safe for them. So they sent their mid-level stewards or managers to go and collect their payments. They developed that middle tier to do the work for them. That's the background. Now you kind of know what the manager is like and what the rich man is like. The rich man, he's now wanting a bigger return. So he tells the steward, or the manager, that he isn't squeezing enough from the poor farmers. So he threatens to fire him. And the manager, this middle class one caught in the middle, He suddenly sees that he is expendable in the eyes of the rich man. So he decides to switch sides. He decides that instead that he should make friends with the poor farmers and arrange those books accordingly. He gets a return for the rich man, but he does it in a way that gives the poor farmers a break. It's about someone who's taking the loss himself, but because he saw through the injustice of the system, he decides to switch sides and work for the poor. Jesus says you need to learn that money is not the most important thing. It is not the ultimate measure. You need to use money in service of relationships rather than use relationships in service of money. It's a different economic system being offered. Everybody matters. Put God at the top, and you'll see that everything else will have a new value. Understand the system that sees everything as expendable in order to gain more. It's a completely opposite system to the kingdom. You need to choose, says Jesus. You cannot serve both God and wealth. They are two completely different realities. There's no room for being one in your work and another on Sundays. God wants to be our priority always. And as we choose to live with God as our priority, all those other things that we choose will build a firm foundation for the way we will then make our choices in the bigger things. And as we show we are trustworthy in the small things, so we'll be trusted with so much more. May it be so. Amen.